Welcome to the third installment of the Daily Bugle, prevented by Across the Bifrost. My name's Sung Soo, and joining me this time in tandem, in force, in mass, if you will, the incomparable Jay Larson and the unforgettable Mark Garreau, the roster doctor. And today, we're going to be covering the new releases coming out. We're going to be covering the spoiled releases from Atomic Mass Games. In addition, we're going to be highlighting the rosters we chose for the three-box challenge with you. The listeners are going to get to vote on, and someone is going to win a prize. But first, Jay, how you doing?
I'm amazing. It's New Year's Eve, and because I'm lame, there's nothing going on in my life besides doing a podcast, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that says a little bit to all of us, Mark. When I proposed this time, none of us said we had anything at all going on. So all three of us are recording a podcast on New Year's Eve. Mark, how you doing?
Good. So I just got to say, I'm personally not a New Year's kind of person. The extent of New Year's in our family is at midnight. We go out, we blow a conch shell, and then we immediately go back to bed. Because we've been in
bed since like 10 p.m. Blow a conch shell?
Yeah.
Is there a video of this? Can I watch a video of this?
I'll send you a recording from tonight. Well, my dad's going to be doing it. I'm not going to go up there because I don't like driving on New Year's Eve with all that.
Is this like a Lord of the Flies cosplay or something? Like, what's going on here?
No, we just... We just blow the conch shell to ring in the new year. You don't do that?
Of course, the conch shell that you're sitting around in your house, Jay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. We have it in our hall closet.
Yeah, right next to what one of, you do.
one of my friends was he's going to a gay bar for New Year's Eve, and like I can't think of anything that sounds less appealing to me than going to a bar right now. So
You are single and desperate, holidays are the best times to meet other single and desperate people, is what I would say.
Okay.
But to Mark's point, driving a car on New Year's Eve is a fool's errand, and I wish you all good health. So Colorado got a little bit of California treatment. We had wildfires yesterday, and we're currently up to 7 inches of snow predicted for 14. So, all right. So, Jay, help us out. What's coming in the new year? What's coming in January of 2022? Oh my God, it's 2022. But what new releases do we have to look forward to?
Well, I have one addendum from last month. I had received an email from Asmodee saying that the Spider-Man versus Dr. Octopus Rivals panel was not going to release in December with a release date to be determined, and then they just showed up on release day anyway, and so those are available now. I assume most of you probably know that, but I guess I wanted to correct the information that was in the last episode. For America, the upcoming month is not a ton of stuff, but it is nice to get these releases that we've been seeing in some of the other places. On January 14th, we're going to have Ms. Marvel release, and we're going to have the Hulkbuster release.
Well, pretty exciting releases there. Mark, what do you think of those two releases from a competitive standpoint?
Ms. Marvel probably won't shake things up. She's fun and she's playable, but she's not build aroundable. Hulkbuster, on the other hand, is very interesting, and I think he's going to open up a lot of interesting Avengers rosters.
All right, so two releases coming this month. Can we pre-order those both on Discount Games Incorporated, Jay?
That is correct.
All right, so you can jump over to Discount Games Incorporated if your local game store doesn't have what you need or you can't find what you want. Mark, we have a decent amount of stuff, not nearly what we had previously to cover. And Jay, if you have anything to jump in here, we're going to do a new format where imagine you're walking through a comic book store and you're flipping through the bins and you see a comic book. So you can either buy the comic or you can pass on the comic. So I'm going to name all the new characters. And Mark, if there's one you want to talk about, just tell me you're going to buy it and we'll take a minute. So new characters that were spoiled from AMG or kind of other places during the month of December. Juggernaut?
Pick. Let's do this one. Let's do pick or pass.
Okay, pick or pass. Boom, nailed it.
Magic terminology. Juggernaut, absolutely fun. I don't know what it is about whoever's doing Brotherhood at AMG, but like they hit it out of the park like every single time. Magneto, Mystique, Toad, they're all incredibly like thematic and fun to play, and they fulfill the fantasy of that character, and Juggernaut is no exception. I've been playing him on TTS a fair bit. And he just stumbles around like a drunk toddler that nobody can displace. And he's just like slapping people, pushing people around, destroying terrain. He is one of the most fun characters to play, full stop. Whether or not he works for your team, you'll have to figure out for yourself. But if you just want to have a fun addition to the game, he is one of the best boxes.
He's definitely unstoppable. I'll agree with you. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Borka. Old Borka from the Trollbloods, where it's just like, yeah, I don't know what to do with this drunken idiot, but if I leave him alone, he's going to mess stuff up. So so Juggernaut's been a ton of fun to get on the table. I also will argue, now we'll get into that a little bit later. Love the Juggernaut. Can't wait till he comes out. A nice five-threat character sliding in there. Next, we have Colossus and Magic. What do we think about there?
Pass, unless you're playing them affiliated.
Gambit Rogue?
They're role players. Gambit Rogue, I think pick on Rogue, 100%. Rogue is one of the best attrition four threats in the game right now. She is absolutely splashable. She's fun. She has lots of different options baked into her. I think she's going to see a lot of play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of this flexible builder. You know, range 2 looks like a pretty big limitation, but then you have to factor in that she does have charge. She's an extremely tasty size 4 throw that only costs 3, I believe, Mark. Correct me if I'm wrong there. I think Rogue, Miss LeBeau, is a wonderful character there. Rounding us out, then, we have X-23 and the Honey Badger.
Jury's out on these two. I need more games with them. They seem very interesting. And I've been trying to play more midline aggressive X-Men recently, and thanks to Colossus and Wolverine and Fastball Special. But these two seem like an intriguing layer on top of that, and I want to get into them deeper before I make a final verdict.
All right, so we've got some cards rounding these characters out. And again, the purpose of this podcast is to catch you up on everything that came out. You can see all of these cards over at mcpdb.acrossthebifrost.com. You can also read about all these different articles. We have first impression articles for them, some of these. Pat and I have done Across the Bifrost episodes on these. You can find all of that over on acrossthebifrost.com. So we have Ruckus, Versatile Strategy, and Do You Know Who I Am out of the Juggernaut box. What do we think of these?
The Juggernaut ones are both very fun and very powerful. Do You Know Who I Am is probably the better of the two, but they're both playable. And I think Do You Know Who I Am might be competitively viable. That one's the long throw that works on characters. Mm-hmm. Incredibly potent.
What about Versatile Strategy? I do like the idea of being able to switch through leaders in the midway. Have you had any experience with that, Jay?
I haven't. No, I tend to not play stuff until it's released, because I'm lame, I guess. But
so a couple of quick important notes on Versatile Strategy. What's it called? It does not work with Mystique and Magneto in the way that you would like it to. Once Mystique's leadership goes, the token no longer works or goes away, or I'm not entirely sure. But essentially, if you start in Mystique to try and be able to put her, I'm holding this token on something, and then switch out into Magneto, it doesn't work. So pretty much the only place you want to play it is in Avengers with Sam and Steve.
Real quick, I do really enjoy playing Brotherhood because, like you said, they've just been a really fun designed affiliation. Mm-hmm. Do you think there'd be many situations where you would once kind of a lot of the terrain has been blown up on the table with Magneto that you would switch over to Mystique?
That's what Pat proposed in the Juggernaut episode of Across the Bifrost. We're like, in round 4, would you rather have a leadership than not have one? And that's an interesting theory. Like, is that worth a tactics card is what it comes down to.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't sound like Mark sure.
Fair enough. Sorry.
I don't know if it is. And to be honest, I don't know if it's worth the tactics slot. I like the idea of it.
If it's going to work anywhere, it's going to be in Avengers. I don't think anywhere else has crazy enough synergy to justify it other than the Avengers, where you can use Steve's leadership on round 1 and then for the rest of the game play a traditional attrition game. I'm not even sure if it's good enough there.
What about Hulkbuster?
You pretty much only play his leadership into Brotherhood.
But when all the terrain's gone, you could switch to someone else. I think that this is a card I would buy future stock in for sure, right? If you're going to tell me a card that's going to be very popular in 1 to 2 years, I would be buying this card, right? Because there's only going to be more leaders coming out there, more weird tricks and shenanigans like this. I think Steve and Sam's interesting because both of them are good, solid characters that you wouldn't mind taking with each other. And if one of them happens to daze and KO out early, you can swap over to another leadership or something like that. It's an interesting card. Again, it all comes down to how much do you value a tactics card there. The Colossus and Magic Box, a Journey Through Limbo, Fastball Special, and Indomitable. And I'm going to propose to you, Mark, can you name a box that has better cards?
It's a little bit tricky now that all you've got's been banned. Because the usual default answer is you get Miles and Gwen, which alongside the core box gives you a pretty serviceable start to Web Warriors and all you've got. This is pretty solid. I will say Fastball requires a box you really don't want to take in three box in Wolverine and Sabretooth. You can, if you're sufficiently motivated, but I don't think it's the optimal choice. Though I guess in general, if you want to play X-Men, this is an incredible box. Journey Through Limbo, a quick note on that. This is obvious to a lot of people, but the movement tools and the range tools don't exactly line up. So when you place somebody range 3, that's longer than a medium move. So if somebody's max 1 on a point and you Journey Through Limbo them off, and they're a medium mover, it requires 2 moves or a move action and a movement trick to get back onto the point they were on, which I think is sleeper insanely good, and not enough people are screwing around with it. Now, part of that is Magic kind of only wants to play where she's affiliated, in my experience with her so far. I don't think she's quite splashable. But I think that's an incredibly potent card in anywhere where you're looking at playing Magic, like X-Men. This is an incredibly potent card. And then finally, Indomitable. This card is insanely good. I think it's an auto include.
Yeah, I think we line up in Indomitable. I just think it's ubiquitousness. You're always going to have good situations for it. I agree with your Fastball, but Limbo is amazing, right? I mean, we talk about it in the Links Across the Bifrost episode. That's the last time I'll pub my own podcast here on my own podcast. It's old Rainbow Bridge. Being able to move people with objectives, crazy.
It's better than that.
Enemies, it's insane.
Yeah, it's just a Swiss Army knife of crazy things you can do with it.
Yeah. I'm going to toss out CP13 and answer my own question. Vision, Winter Soldier, Field Dressing Till the End of the Line, PSD, Tactical Analysis. That's a pretty good one.
Actually, yeah, that one was incredibly good. I couldn't remember the other cards in the box. I remembered Field Dressing when I was going through all the best value boxes. But since I couldn't remember the remainder, that's even better than I thought.
MCPDB.AcrossTheBifrost.com. So we have Dark Paths, Mind If I Cut In, and Pardon Me, Sugar.
Thematic, fun. I don't think they're insane. Mind If I Cut In is the one that I think might be sleeper good, depending on the matchup. Because it's essentially a power tax or rogue bodyguards everything. And I want to put more time into it.
Yeah, then we have Charming Thief, Jonathan the Unstoppable, and Wolverines. And with Wolverine, that, let's go to the three-box challenge. Yeah. So we've got a competition going on, and the way it worked is we had over 75 people submit different three-box challenge rosters to three-box at AcrossTheBifrost.com. We've kind of curated this down to 6 rosters that we like, and we're going to put these up on AcrossTheBifrost.com for you, the listeners, to vote on. But before we dive into that, let's talk to Mark. Mark, do you know how the three-box challenge came around to be?
Oh, yes. So I am... many things, one of which is the creator of the three box challenge. So since I came from War Machine, which is a game famous for its difficulty for onboarding players, I was kind of very focused as a content creator about how do you make things more new player friendly? How do you make the onboarding process easier? And I was thinking about how other games do slow grow leagues and stuff like that. But that doesn't really work with MCP because... You have like a fixed size roster. It's not like you can start at a lower points level and work your way up. So we had to come up with a different way to limit them. And so I came up with what is called the three box challenge, which is you get the core box because that has everything you need to play and three boxes of your choices. So any characters you want from across the entire range, any three boxes you want. And this creates an equally limited environment for everyone to play in. It only costs about $250, cheaper depending on where you find the boxes and which boxes you get. But it's a relatively cheap entry point for a miniatures game. It gets you pretty close to tournament competitive. Like, the only difference is your tactics and some of your splash characters are not quite there. But I think it works really great as an entry-level format, and thankfully a lot of people are enjoying it by the 75 entries you said for this contest.
Ooh. You know, I agree. It's definitely one of my favorite ways to play. You know, it's daunting for people getting into it because the game is, on face value, inexpensive until you start playing it, and then it is, in fact, not any cheaper than any other tabletop board game, which is to say, very expensive. So a couple different lists. I'll go ahead and go first here. I've got a list from Patrick, and he kind of struck home in a few things. So the three boxes he chose were Green Goblin, Lizard and Kraven, Mysterio and Carnage. And I am a sucker for going thematic, and I've really enjoyed Spider Foes and Mysterio. Now, Green Goblin comes with Blind Obsession and Well-Laid Plans. I think that's phenomenal. Lizard comes with Fearful Symmetry and Traps, I believe, is in there. And the Mysterio and Carnage gets you Grand Illusion and then the Carnage cards, right? So it gives you a lot of flexibility. He highlights that a lot of the games for 3 box are going to be played at 17 threat because we're predominantly playing the Crisis out of the core box, right? And you've got a bunch of different functionality there about Goblin, Lizard, Doc Ock, Mysterio, and Carnage, right? And you can just kind of pick and choose which ones out of those you end up wanting to run out there. And that's, like I said, that's the 17, and then just rotate additional people in. So I like it. It's a place where Spider Foes can kind of shine. And I enjoy the fact that in scale to the full game, sometimes Spider Foes are a little outclassed. But I think with the restrictions around the three box challenge, it's a place where they really could shine. And honestly, they're just a lot of fun to get in the table. And I really have fun every time I slap down Carnage and Mysterio.
I can dig it. I played Spider Foes in virtually all of the three box challenge events I've participated in so far. They work incredibly well out of the box, especially now that Doom Prophecy is gone. It definitely felt a little bit odd playing them without Doom Prophecy in three box when Doom Prophecy was a thing. But now that you're no longer tempted by that, like, shiny, I think you're much happier with what you get in the three box challenge, especially with the goblin buffs.
Yeah, I mean, before Doomed was gone, right, a lot of times you'd consider swapping that Lizard Kraven box out for Thor just to, or not Thor,
Loki Hela,
excuse me, just to pick up the card, which is like, eh, but at the same time, Carnage with Doomed is just, feels so good.
Absolutely filthy.
Yeah. All right, Jay, do you have a roster that you like?
Yeah, absolutely. So, this one is titled Traxian Thanos. So the boxes that you're buying are Thanos, you're buying She-Hulk, and the other one you're getting is Crystal with Lockjaw. And so the 10 characters are Black Widow, Captain America, Steve Rogers, Captain Marvel, Crystal, Doc Ock, Iron Man, Lockjaw, She-Hulk, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Thanos with the Mind Gem. And kind of the theme behind this is that you're going to be playing Thanos and She-Hulk together in each of the different point levels. And just going to town with those two and having different complementary characters that you can take with them at each level.
Admittedly, the 14th threat seems a bit of a stretch playing a threat down. In their
it's
listed,
amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, like, I'm willing to like play a point down if I somehow play 14 threat in a three box game.
You just need to opine about, I mean, that's the thing, is like, they would have to choose. It should never come up, right? Your opponent has to put out the 14th threat, has to put out senators.
Right.
And then, oh no, it, you, You would have to help yourself get shot in the foot to play 14 threat.
Correct.
You would have to opt into a chance of it happening at some stage along the way. Either that or actively.
So you can only be mad at yourself. But I do love the audacity of like, I got two characters. Let's go.
he does have some notes if you do decide to shoot yourself in the foot and allow the 14 threat to happen. If you decide not to go with the two character one on that one, he has some different build options to go there as well. So,
yeah. So I do love that it's themed. He references Earth 616, the Terexia, going into that. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and we'll have a brief description on acrossthebifrost.com to go along with these. So you can kind of see what the creators were thinking about, when they kind of posted this stuff. So Mark, Jay and I went kind of fluffy. You know, I have a feeling you didn't go that way. So what did you
end up doing? Mark, the well-noted fluff bunny who...
the cosplay extraordinaire, Mark Crow.
Yeah, I don't like the hobby aspect. I don't like the fluff aspect.
Wait, don't like hobby?
I hate painting. I'm bad at painting. I pay other people to paint for me.
So hold on. Is TTS the perfect wargaming experience for you?
No. I think it's just a bit too clumsy. I wish everything was like Fire Emblem, where it's on a grid and everything just works perfectly without bugs.
Okay. All right, Mark, what'd you come up with?
Okay, so for my first one, this is a Cabal Criminal Syndicate combo where the boxes they picked were Kingpin, Bullseye and Daredevil, and Hood and Voodoo. And I really like this because it combines just what is already built in solid with the core box, which is you've got an Avengers and a Cabal core there. And he essentially builds onto it with a bunch of double affiliated CS and Cabal characters so that it keeps your options open however you're feeling. If you just want to keep things fresh too, just thinking on this, not even from the competitive aspect, but from like the entry level player aspect. I think like being like, oh, I'm kind of tired of Red Skull. Let me just switch over to Kingpin, who's the exact same threat. And since a lot of the characters I'm picking are both of those affiliations, you get to completely recontextualize your entire team with only swapping out one character, which I think is really cool.
I like the roster for what you said. A lot of the three box challenge rosters that came in end up being some form of, I'll say, vanilla Cabal or vanilla Avengers, and I think everyone knows what I'm talking about if you've done some three-box dojoing here. So I do appreciate that this is a competitive roster, a roster that can be really mean if you don't have the right tools, and it definitely brings in some really interesting non-core box threats there, right? Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pivot. I'm going to audible a little bit. Xavier Protocols, okay. Jacob Collins submitted the money list known as Hulkbuster, Thanos, Dormammu, which also is what are the most expensive boxes I could possibly win. But he's an eligible win because he's in the UK. And I like the idea. His rationale when we were talking about it, because I was poking a little fun at him, of course, he says, you always are going to have an amazing looking model on the table, and that's going to make other people play the game. And isn't that the point of the three box challenge? He says, in addition, having a 6, a 7, because he's going to gem Thanos, and an 8 threat scales really well with the kind of glut of 3s, right, that you have out of the initial core set. So he's basically going to be playing one of these kind of centerpiece models in Hulkbuster, Thanos, and Dormammu, and then just sprinkling in the core set around. And you know what? I can actually get behind that. I think it's pretty cool. You know, Thanos isn't a bad Avenger, and he's not a bad Cabal member either. Dormammu obviously does Dormammu stuff, and then Hulkbuster brings you that secondary Avengers leadership. So, yeah, I like it. I like it a lot, and I do agree that that's something that would catch people's eyes as they were walking by, and ultimately that's what we're looking for if we're not playing on TTS. All right, Jay, what do you have for your second roster?
All right, so this next list is from Tony Crawford. The boxes he goes with are Cyclops and Storm, Rogue and Gambit, and Cable and Domino. I like this quite a bit because it's really weird. For whatever reason, my senses when I read through the X-Men cards and I'm just trying to like evaluate their strength, I always feel like they're not as good as when I play them on the table, and I have their it's one of the affiliations that I have the best win-loss records with, which I would never ever have guessed. Just
you have your best win-loss ratio with X-Men?
It's one of my best, yeah.
Which that is astounding.
I cannot, it's inexplicable to me. it's nice to see X-Men and X-Force get a little bit of love.
My favorite part of Tony's roster here, Mark, and I think you'll appreciate it. Did you look at the Secures? Superpower Scoundrels form Sinister Syndicate, Sword Base, and Mutant Madmen turn City Center into Lethal Amusement Park. He's like, I know you're expecting 17. Not if I get a Secure. I like that he actually jammed 3 Crisis in there.
Get weird with it.
All right, Mark, what do you got to round it out?
Okay, so there were a couple of these, but I wanted to highlight this as an incredibly good way to get value that lets you go in a bunch of different directions for a 3-box challenge. And this was, let me grab the name, Jeff Danielson. I won't say more than that to avoid doxing him. He went with a combo of Web Warriors and Midnight Suns. And again, there were a couple of people who did this, but I just picked one that I liked. And so his 3 boxes, of course, is Miles and Gwen, Blade and Moon Knight, and then to round it out, Voodoo and Hood. So you get the Blade, Moon Knight, Voodoo starter combo. You get Hood, who's just a great generic 3 splash when you're playing a lot of 17 and you're going to be playing around with your 3s a lot, in my experience. You can go pretty much anywhere out of this box, 3-box opener. You can go Avengers, you can go Cabal, you can go Midnight Suns, you can go Web Warriors. It's just incredibly flexible and a great way to start your collection, and very potent as well. So big props on that.
Yeah, and that's an interesting way to go. You say it's a great way to start your collection, right? Because you can take a lot of these pieces directly into, if you want to be a super sweaty tryhard, a lot of these things will translate great. It gives you a really solid core there. I also do like some general 3-box things, right? Anytime you pick up a box of one character, you really need to be planning on playing that character a ton. Because like I love, you know, Voodoo and Hood is a great example, right? I've got a utility 3 and a utility 4. I can run them in an affiliation because I'm additionally taking Blade, or both of those are great unaffiliated splashes. I think things like that are things you need to look at if you're wanting to and trying to get a competitive 3-box out there.
Yeah, I think in general, if you just want a good splashable 3 and a good splashable 4, the Hood Voodoo box is incredibly good. Their tactics cards aren't that great, but the characters by themselves pack a lot of punch in just one box.
Yeah, it honestly reminds me a lot of the Vision box, right? Because the Vision box, since the update, is another phenomenal box. I think the Vision box is better tactics cards. If you wanted to argue that Voodoo and Hood were better than Vision and Bucky, I wouldn't argue against you.
Just they have rarer tools, healing and extract dropping.
Especially in the 3-box format, right? Like, we're really not expecting to see a lot of that. So grabbing those things are kind of huge. So all 6 of those rosters and a brief blurb about them are going to be up on AcrossTheBifrost.com. We are going to have the voting up. How long do you think we should have the voting up for? 10 days? A week?
A week sounds like a nice round number.
Okay, we'll have the voting up for a week. The winning U.S. roster will receive their 3 boxes courtesy of Discount Games Incorporated. Thank you again, Jay, for taking part of this. So you can find everything you need that your local game store doesn't have, or if they can't find what you want, over at discountgamesinc.com. In addition, they take pre-orders. We hope you enjoyed this month's episode. Again, our goal isn't to dive deep into these things. It's just to kind of let you know what's happening around the Marvel Crisis Protocol universe. You can go deep with all the different blogs, articles, podcasts, and everything else over at AcrossTheBifrost.com. We have 4 new content creators in the month of December. That's phenomenal. I hope to get some more stuff going there. Yep, we've already seen a couple blogs out of Zeltan and Koryo already. So hope to see more from them as well. Jay, Mark, thank you so much for joining me on New Year's Eve. Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, till next time, everyone. Cheers and happy gaming.